In today's news headlines, a New York Times analysis of mortality statistics has concluded that the U.S. has been undercounting deaths due to the coronavirus, and that more than 200,000 people have already died from the disease. The analysis was based on a comparison of this year's death rate to last year's and a calculation to arrive at excess deaths that are most likely attributed to COVID-19. The study comes at the same time as the U.S. had its worst single-day death toll of the summer on Wednesday, with more than 1,500 people dying from the virus. In contrast, the entire European Union recorded 115 deaths on the same day. To add to the bad news, the Journal of the American Medical Association on Thursday published a study concluding that in the first 2 months of the pandemic, New York City lost more lives to COVID-19 than were lost in the same city in the first 2 months of the 1918 flu pandemic. That disease eventually killed 675,000 people in the U.S. alone and 50 million people worldwide. Dr. Robert Redfield, the director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, has issued a dire warning about this fall. In an interview with WebMD, Redfield said, quote, "For your country right now and for the war that we are in against COVID, I'm asking you to do four simple things. Wear a mask, social distance, wash your hands, and be smart about crowds." Without following these steps, Redfield warned that the U.S. could have, quote, "the worst fall from a public health perspective we have ever had." The CDC has also issued a new warning over face masks that are outfitted with valves or vents for easier breathing. Such masks do not stop the transmission of respiratory droplets being inhaled or exhaled, and as such are not effective. Meanwhile, as hospitals are overloaded with patients in various COVID-19 hotspots, reports are emerging that health workers are being required to work even if they have symptoms of the virus. A survey found that roughly a third of those who said they had gotten sick reported returning to work with symptoms. Nearly 1,000 health workers have already died from COVID-19, and it is possible some of those lives were lost because of inadequate personal protective equipment. The latest Labor Department figures on unemployment show that the number of people seeking jobless benefits last week finally fell below 1 million. After 20 straight weeks at more than 1 million. The drop was small, though, at 960,000 more Americans filing for unemployment, even as the CARES Act weekly benefits have dried up in the face of Republican opposition. Vice President Mike Pence boasted on Fox News that, quote, "We've created more jobs in the last 3 months than Joe Biden and Barack Obama created in their 8 years in office." Critics pointed out that Pence was purposely not referring to net numbers of jobs created, and that his statement was misleading considering that the economy lost tens of millions of jobs in the first 6 months of the year due to the pandemic. The presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, Joe Biden, appeared alongside his running mate on Wednesday for the first time since he announced Senator Kamala Harris was his vice presidential choice. The former vice president and his wife appeared alongside Harris and her husband at a Delaware gym without a live audience and introduced her in reference to his late son, Beau, who knew Harris.
"I know how much Beau respected Kamala and her work, and that mattered a lot to me, to be honest with you, as I made this decision. So now we need to get to work, pulling this nation out of these crises we find ourselves in. Getting our economy back on track, uniting this nation, and yes, winning the battle for the soul of America."
Mr. Biden's campaign has raised $26 million in the 24 hours after he announced that Harris would join him as a running mate. Associated Press reports that Democrats are close to matching, if not surpassing, the massive $300 million cash stockpile President Donald Trump and Republicans reported in July. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal on Thursday published the headline, quote, "As Kamala Harris joins Biden ticket, Wall Street sighs in relief." The paper of choice for corporate America lauded the fact that for Biden and Harris, quote, "tougher financial regulation isn't a top priority." Meanwhile, President Trump wasted no time in attacking Harris, calling her a, quote, "sort of a mad woman" in an interview on Fox Business News. He also proceeded to attack several other Democratic women and women in media, who are often his favorite targets. Trump campaign advisor Jenna Ellis also revived the sort of racist attacks that Trump had leveled against President Barack Obama, questioning whether his birthplace was in the U.S. Ellis tweeted an article questioning if Harris was born in the U.S., and when asked about it, said, quote, "It's an open question, and one I think Harris should answer so the American people know for sure she is eligible." Trump continued his attacks on the U.S. Postal Service and on mail-in voting by withholding the necessary funding that USPS needs in order to ensure American voters get their ballots in a timely manner during the ongoing pandemic. In an interview on Fox News, Trump admitted that his agenda was to ensure that the Postal Service didn't get the money it needed to carry out the task.
$3.5 billion for something that'll turn out to be fraudulent, that's election money, basically. They want $3.5 billion for the mail-in votes, okay, universal mail-in ballots. They want $25 billion for the post office. Now, they need that money in order to have the post office work so it can take all of these millions and millions of ballots. Now, in the meantime, they aren't getting there. By the way, those are just two items. But if they don't get those two items, that means you can't have universal mail-in voting.
That's President Trump in an interview on Thursday admitting that he was withholding the needed funds from the Postal Service so that it couldn't implement universal vote by mail. The Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe has issued a warning about the, quote, serious challenges to American democracy. And the 175 members of the U.S. Congress have demanded in a letter that Postmaster Louis DeJoy reverse the changes he has implemented that includes delays to mail delivery. A new report by more than 500 climate scientists from more than 60 countries has concluded that the last 10 years were the hottest decade on record, and that every decade since 1980 has been hotter than the decade that came before it. On the same day that that study was published, the Trump Environmental Protection Agency deliberately reversed a methane regulation that even fossil fuel companies don't oppose. Methane is a far more powerful greenhouse gas than even carbon dioxide, and the Obama administration adopted methane emission regulations. A wildfire in Southern California has exploded in size and ferocity as firefighters struggle to control it. The Lake Hughes fire began in the Angeles National Forest and expanded to more than 10,000 acres in just a few hours. Wildfires are now stronger and more prevalent in a warming climate. Finally, Trump is touting a deal between Israel and the United Arab Emirates to normalize diplomatic relations between the two countries. The UAE now becomes the first Gulf Arab nation to recognize the State of Israel. Trump is hoping that the deal will be a foreign policy achievement that he can tout ahead of the November elections, after the Afghanistan peace deal remains tenuous and relations between the U.S. and North Korea did not normalize as he had hoped. And that does it for our news headlines today.